Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. The testimonies just keep on pouring in. Here's one from Mary. And she says, Hank has helped me by exposing the bold, biblically backed truth about topics that have been avoided in my church, swept under the table, ignored. I appreciate your cut to the chase method of responding to the tough questions and your perseverance in the faith. Thank you for being a man of God and not a captive of organized, people-pleasing religion. Marjorie, she's in New Jersey. She writes, and this is a common story. She says, in 1999, a young pastor friend at work told me about the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I had been having reservations about many ministers, but I couldn't put into words why I disagreed with what they were saying. So I started listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on my way home from work. My husband didn't want to hear Hank because he didn't want to have to think once he left work. I listened, which forced my husband to listen. And within weeks, my husband was disagreeing with Hank. And then within months, he was agreeing with Hank. I was happy to have answers to the questions. I had almost everything that did not fit with the God of the Bible. Today, we filter almost all of the information teaching about God through the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We know we are educated Christians and know what and why we believe. And then I love this. She says, I pray for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute every time I get on my knees. Keep teaching, keep reaching, touch the masses. May God bless you and keep you always. Many other testimonies could be read. But before I go to the questions for today, many people calling in right now at 888-ASK-HANK, I want to mention some good news, some bad news. The bad news is that there are people listening to my voice right now who will not be hearing the Bible Answer Man broadcast on their stations. We've had a valued relationship with stations around the country, with their owners and their managers, with their technicians, and that valued relationship has continued for over two decades, and we've become close personal friends with the management of these great Christian radio stations, and we've come to recognize that radio is a powerful, it's a personal medium. It is one of the most potent mediums in the world today in reaching people with the gospel. And while we're going to be leaving some stations, we look forward to being back soon. For now, we're going to have to say goodbye for just a little while. But there's good news. Obviously, there are still hundreds of thousands who will not be affected, will continue on their stations. But if you are affected and you can no longer hear the broadcast on your station, you can listen to the broadcast on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can live stream the broadcast on the web. You can hear archived programs 24/7. And you can not only hear me on the web, but you can see me. We're doing video blogging now on the World Wide Web. I mean, we've got into the 21st century. So if you can't hear us on the radio, join people from 177 countries around the world who listen to us every day on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And remember, we need your prayers and support today more than ever, because our goal is to be on as many radio stations as the Lord would permit, given the economic realities of our day. We live in a tough time. Economically, it's tough. People that once gave $5,000 now give $1,000. People that once gave $100 now give $50 or $25. And it's not because they don't believe in the work. They do. They let us know each and every day. We're praying for you, but this is all we can do right now. And in these tough economic times, you can either continue piling up debt or you can be responsible. And we have chosen the latter. And we need your support as we continue reaching out around the world. I mean, think about this, 177 countries that get this broadcast on a daily basis. So stand with us prayerfully and financially, and Lord willing, we'll be right back on the station listening to me on right now. And again, I want to underscore the fact that there are thousands listening, hundreds of thousands literally, who won't be affected at all. But for those that are, we want to join up with you again in the very near future right here on this radio station. So pray for that. Stand with us prayerfully and financially. God will make a way. A lot of you hanging on, we're going to go right to the phone lines. Damon listening on KKLA in Long Beach, California. Hi, Damon.
Hello, how you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
Oh, it's going fine, man. Finally, glad to get a chance to speak to you.
It's good to talk to you.
Thank you guys for your ministry there.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question. It's on the topic of spiritual death and physical death. In Genesis chapters 3 and 2, it seems to be referring to physical death, while in Romans chapter 5, I guess verse 12, seem to be referring to spiritual death. Help me out, because I'm not sure if I'm understanding it correctly.
Yeah, I think we do ourselves a great service to try to make a disservice, to try to make a bifurcation between the two. Because the reality is we are physical and we're metaphysical. We have bodies and we have souls. And when a woman gives birth, she doesn't merely give birth to a body. She gives birth to a body-soul unity. And that's the way we're going to be for all eternity. In fact, at death, what happens is there's this unnatural rending of the body and the soul. The body goes back to the ground. The soul goes to be with the Lord, if you're a believer. And at the resurrection, the soul returns to the body. And then you are what you are designed to be, a human being. That entails both the spiritual and the physical aspect of humanity. So we don't, as Christians, think that in eternity we're going to be like Casper the Ghost strumming a harp on a cloud. We know that we're going to be physical beings again, because the soul will return to the body. And then ultimately is our hope. N.T. Wright is absolutely right when he says, we don't believe in life after death, we believe in life after death, which is to say, my dad died in 1997. He has life after death. In other words, he's absent from the body, present with the Lord. But one day in the future, when the Lord returns, and Hebrews makes clear that the Lord will return a second time, my dad's soul will return to my dad's body, and then he'll have life after death, because he's going to experience a physical resurrection and live in a physical universe with a physically resurrected Christ. That's the hope of the believer. That's the essence of the Christian faith.
Yeah, Hank. I understand that, and I look forward to that myself. But in Genesis 2, when God told Adam in the day that he eats the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that he will surely die, was he referring to the physical death that God cursed him on in chapter 3 of Genesis? Or was he just speaking of just being spiritually separated from God?
Well, what I'm saying is we do ourselves a disservice to think it's an either-or proposition. It's a both and proposition.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's not only true in Genesis chapter 3, but it's also true in Romans chapter 5. When we're talking about spiritual death, that is not merely talking about the non-corporeal aspect of humanity. It's also talking about what happens physically, both to our bodies and to the universe itself.
Okay, so if I'm understanding it correctly, so in Genesis, he both died spiritually, but yet the physical process of death was working in him until he actually died.
Yeah, in fact, he wouldn't have died if it wasn't for sin.
Okay.
He wouldn't have experienced physical death.
Okay. And then in Romans, it's pretty much, when it says death passed upon all men, it's just referring to both categories, right?
In both cases, yes.
Okay, that's what I was trying to understand, because I'm just doing a personal study on it, and I just came to a little dilemma.
Well, I hope that helps. I think sometimes what we try to do is separate the categories in an unnatural way.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
All right. Thanks, Brother Hank. God bless.
Hey, God bless you. Good talking to you, man. Want to go to Doug, listening on XM Radio, Syracuse, New York. Hi, Doug.
Hello.
How you doing?
Not bad. Good to talk with you.
Likewise.
Okay. The question is, first of all, me and my wife run an inner-city youth group. I think I answered the question pretty good, but I want to get your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
One of the teen girls asked, if God knew that people were going to go to hell, then why would he have created them?
Well, God created people in such a way that they could choose to have a relationship with him or choose to be separated from him. So God created people with volition. And God does not simply rub out the crowning jewels of his creation because they decide that they don't want to have a relationship with him for time and for eternity. He continues to sustain them in existence, even though that existence is apart from his goodness and grace, because that's what they want. Without hell, there would be no choice. Now, the righteous would end up inheriting a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. God is not a cosmic rapist that forces himself on people either in time or, heaven forbid, for all eternity. He gives people what they want. And that's why C.S. Lewis, I think, was profound in saying there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who say, in the end, on bended knee, thy will be done. And those to whom, in the end, God says, thy will be done. Which is, if you don't want a relationship with me, that's your choice.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate it.
You got it. I've written about this in a book called Resurrection. And this is one of the books that I think is so significant for people to grasp. Resurrection is misunderstood on a grand scale in evangelical Christianity. For many, the Platonic notion of resurrection has crept in. And so people suppose that when they're resurrected in spirit bodies, which is an oxymoron. We will have spiritual bodies. If I pick up a Bible, I can say that's a spiritual book, but that does not mean it's a non-physical book. In the same way, we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we will have spiritual bodies. But in saying that, we're not saying non-physical bodies. We will live in physical bodies. And Paul draws illustrations from botany and zoology and astronomy and 1 Corinthians 15, all to highlight the reality that we will rise physically. Will be the same physically, different organizationally. In fact, the DNA that makes you you is the DNA that will make you you for all eternity. That DNA is going to flourish in a pristine universe. Revelation 21 tells us that the old order of things will have passed away. All things will become new. And then we will learn and grow and develop without error as forever we explore the glory and grandeurs not only of God's created handiwork, but explore the glory and grandeur of the one who saved us by his miraculous grace. On the other side of the break, you get a treat. I hold in my hands right now one of the most significant books that you will ever lay your hands on. And this book has come out just in the nick of time. On the celebration, if indeed you want to celebrate this, of the origin of species by means of natural selection 150 years ago, we now have a book called The Signature of the Cell. Signature in the Cell. It's by Stephen Meyer, and it's a book you want to find out about. Maybe one of the most significant books you will ever put your hands on. I'm going to be talking to Stephen Meyer on the other side of the break. You just don't want to miss it. This is going to be compelling radio, particularly for those that believe in intelligent design.
Hank Hanegraaff headlines focus on the family's The Big Dig nationally simulcast teen apologetics conference on Saturday, August 8th to help your teens handle tough questions about their faith. This powerful one-day simulcast featuring Hank and other top speakers will give your teens everything they need to face their fears, stand up for Jesus, and share their faith with skeptics and seekers with the kind of confidence you'll be proud of. Sign up to be a host church and give students, parents, and youth leaders an exciting opportunity to strengthen their faith. For more details about the Saturday, August 8th National Simulcast, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what he promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers.
This is Ed Young, pastor of the Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. Thank God for you, Hank, and the fact that God has used you so magnificently, and you have kept the church, the body, the believers, straight and orthodox in understanding and basic doctrinal truths, and I'm so grateful to you. And I'm so thankful. I thank you, are God's man, for your calling for just such a time as this. You've got the fundamentals down, and you understand in the essentials there is unity, and non-essentials there is diversity, and you put that together so we can understand what God is doing in his body of believers at this moment. Thank you, Hank, for being there, for being available, for your faithfulness in your personal life, in your family life, and your commitment to Jesus Christ, to his church, and to the kingdom.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
And I hold in my hand the first comprehensive scientific argument for intelligent design based on the discovery of the digital code in DNA. And the argument is advanced in compelling fashion. It's just a great read. Signature in the Cell, the title of the book, not only presents a decisive scientific argument, but tells the fascinating story of the discovery of DNA in a spellbinding fashion. I don't want to fool you. This is a 600-page volume, but it is spellbinding. Look, we had Origin of the Species, and I mentioned before the break that we are this year celebrating, if you will, the 100th anniversary of the publication of Origin of Species by means of natural selection. And this is the idea of Origin of the Species. Common descent by means of natural selection. And now Stephen Meyer has written Signature in the Cell. And he's demonstrating in this volume that common descent by means of natural selection is simply an inadequate argument in an age of scientific enlightenment. Design without intelligent design is a theory. It's lost its luster. Now, we believe this theory, this low-grade hypothesis, because it's politically correct, it's mandated. You want tenure? You got to believe it. But there's an Achilles heel, and I want to talk to Stephen Meyer about the Achilles heel. Dr. Meyer is director of the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture, and he's a founder both of the Intelligent Design Movement and of the Center for Science and Culture. Dr. Meyer is a Cambridge University-trained philosopher of science. He's an author of peer-reviewed publications, and he's just a great guy. He's a great writer, an intellect, someone that really cares, who's taken his life and devoted it to an issue. And this issue is not just another issue. How one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. So to get this book is to get a treasure. Will it take some work? Yes, but it is intoxicating. This man has poured his life into a volume that may well produce a significant revolution in thinking. All of that to say, I want you to order this book right now. You can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And you can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. But this is a book you want in your home. If you've got kids, this is a book that they should brush up against. Dr. Meyer joins me now. Hi.
Hank, it's great to be with you.
It's always good to talk to you, and this is quite a book. My whole staff is gushing over it.
Well, I hardly know what to say. It's awfully kind of you. I kind of wanted to stop the interview after you said all those nice things.
Well, one of the things we can say to continue the discussion, and it needs to be continued, is the Achilles heel of evolutionary biology is its utter incomprehension of the origin of information. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, that is absolutely the key issue. In the 19th century, science was focused on matter and on energy and the laws of nature, and all those are part of the scientific picture of the world. But there was a third fundamental element that was missing from our understanding of reality, and that entity, that element, is information. And the breakthrough in biology came in the 1950s, starting with Watson and Crick, this discovery of the famous double helix molecule DNA. But even more important than the discovery of the structure of the molecule was the discovery of what it does. And in 1957, Crick, who was absolutely brilliant, had the insight that that four chemicals that run along the spine of the DNA molecule function like alphabetic characters in a written language or digital characters in a machine code. And we're so used to hearing about DNA, you almost have to stop and just slap yourself a couple times to realize how stunning that is, because what's going on inside life is that information in the form of this digital code is directing the production of protein machinery. Here in Seattle, we have something very much like it out at the Boeing plant, where they use a technology called CAD-CAM, computer-assisted design and manufacture, where an engineer designs a part in a computer. The code that's responsible for those design parameters is selected. It's then converted into another machine code, and then it's transmitted, and it ends up directing the construction of the parts of the airplane, whether it's putting the rivets on the right place on the wing or whatever it is. And that's exactly what's going on in the cell. We have code directing the construction of sophisticated nanomachinery, and all of this within a tiny, tiny enclosure. So this is miniaturized nanotechnology, all directed by digital code stored in DNA. And this is what modern science has revealed, starting with Watson and Crick, and then, as I discuss in the book, and in a progressive series of equally startling revelations coming right up to the present day.
You hooked me with the prologue. Talk about finding yourself embroiled in the epicenter of a modern-day Scopes monkey trial.
Well, we 2004, 2005 were just years when I think most people in America now have some familiarity with the term intelligent design. Indeed, a Zogby poll came out just a couple weeks ago saying that a majority of Americans support the theory of intelligent design over and against completely undirected evolution by a fairly sizable margin. Before 2004, 2005, very few people knew what the term referred to. But there was a huge controversy in 2005 as a result of a trial in Dover, Pennsylvania. It was unfortunately decided in a way that was not friendly to the idea of intelligent design, but in some ways it was quite predictable. The little school board got themselves in over their heads, and they framed the issue wrong, and they defended their educational proposal in a way that was never going to pass muster in the courts, though we think that intelligent design, teaching students about the theory of intelligent design, ought to be constitutional. But in addition to that, there were other controversies swirling around this issue. One was started in late 2004 when a scientist at a scientific journal that was published out of the Smithsonian Institution published a paper on intelligent design. It happened that the author of the paper was a disreputable guy in Seattle named Meyer, but the unfortunate thing was they didn't come after me. They tried to make an example of the editor. He had two earned PhDs in biology, including one in evolutionary biology, 40 peer-reviewed publications of his own, and they tried to make an example of him. They took away his office, his keys, his access to scientific samples. They transferred him out from under a friendly supervisor and put him under someone who was known to be hostile to him, and then they interrogated his friendly colleagues as to his religious and political views, even going so far as to ask whether he was a priest or whether he was working in the Bush campaign or was he a fundamentalist or what. And then finally, they ended up demoting this scientist, Richard Sternberg. So that made its way first into the science press, then the popular press, and eventually it became one of the stories that Ben Stein covered in his documentary Expelled last year, in which he was documenting the suppression of ideas, the suppression of inquiry and evidence that's been going on in the scientific world surrounding this issue of biological origins.
Talk about, for just a moment, one of the great unsolved mysteries of modern science, and that is the origin of life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in the 150th year anniversary of the publication of The Origin of Species, 200th anniversary of Darwin's birth. We have lots of celebrations, commemorative events, discussion in the media and in scientific journals and on campus about the legacy of Darwin. And one thing, though, that's overlooked, the main legacy is often said that he refuted the design argument, but It turns out he did no such thing, that he never actually addressed one of the most fundamental questions that relate to the question of design, and that is the question of the origin of the very first life. He attempted to explain how new living forms arise from simpler pre-existing forms, but he left unanswered the question of the origin of that first simple form of life from non-living chemicals. And in 150 years since the publication of The Origin of Species, subsequent generations of scientists have done no better in explaining that. In fact, at the end of Expelled, Ben Stein got Richard Dawkins to admit that, as he put it, quote, no one knows how life first arose. And of course, Dawkins was talking as a materialistic evolutionary theorist. So this is a question that's been unanswered from within the standard evolutionary framework. And yet, as I argue in the book, there is a kind of cause that is known to produce the key effect in life, which is information, and in fact, the specific features of the living cell, in particular, its informational features, cry out for intelligent design.
Well, I want to hold you over for just a few moments because I think you've misrepresented Richard Dawkins. I watched Expelled, and I saw in that movie, Stephen, that he believes in intelligent design. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. If you don't have Signature in the Cell, remedy that woeful condition immediately. Give me a call, 888-7000-CRI. This is a 600-page volume. Even if you don't read the whole thing, flip through it. It will be worth the purchase price. You can order it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Stephen Meyer, what about Richard Dawkins? Does he or does he not believe in intelligent design? We'll be right back.
Truth is under siege. Hank Hanegraaff has captured the spirit of Truth Under Siege in a new audio CD remembering the lives of the great Christian reformers, lives of men like John Wycliffe, John Huss, and Martin Luther, as well as the biblical prophet Jeremiah, who each exemplified the transforming power of a testimony tried by fire. In Hank Hanegraaff's Truth Under Siege, he reminds us that just as the great reformers and prophets of old were willing to give their utmost for God's highest, not only in the public square, but each and every moment of the day, we too, as followers of Christ, need to realize the paramount importance of redeeming each moment of our lives for the cause of the precious Redeemer. Be inspired to stand for truth and make a difference when you hear Hank Hanegraaff's Truth Under Siege, delivered in Los Angeles, California earlier this year. Order your copy on audio CD for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to our secure website anytime at www.equip.org.
Hank will be right back after these messages.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas. But God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order the compelling The Case for Faith DVD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
It's the 21st century and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. If you appreciate the information you get from the daily broadcast of The Bible Answer Man, our website, equip.org, or our flagship publication, Christian Research Journal, please let us know. We're always encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry.
I recently became a Christian. I was brought up Reformed Jewish, and just listening to your broadcast and calling up a couple times and having you answer a couple questions of mine that were really important to me coming to know Christ the Lord have really helped me beyond words. I would like to thank you and CRI for bringing truth to the radio, bringing truth into my ears, and bringing me to be a follower of Christ Jesus. Thanks, Hank.
If you can make a special gift, you enter into partnership with us as we equip people from around the United States and the world to defend and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Our outreach on this radio station is made possible through the financial donations and prayerful support of listeners like you. So as you feel led, we would love to have you help us and join the work God is doing through the ministry of CRI. To get in touch with the Christian Research Institute, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. We're also online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man and our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and let's get right back to Dr. Stephen Meyer. author of Signature in the Cell. If you don't have it, order it right away. You can take a look at this book. It is an absolute masterpiece on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI or order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Dr. Meyer, quick question about intelligent design before we get to Richard Dawkins. Explain to people exactly what intelligent design is, because it's been caricatured as a sneaky attempt to circumvent the legal prohibitions against teaching creationism in public school.
Yeah, absolutely. And we sometimes get called it's religion masquerading as science, creationists in the cheap tuxedos, when they go after our clothes, you know, that really hurts our feelings. But maybe the best way to understand intelligent design is in contrast to what it is we're challenging. The word evolution can be a slippery word. It can mean a lot of different things. It can mean change over time. It can refer to common ancestry. In Darwin's theory, the central meaning of evolution is the idea that there's a purely undirected process, namely natural selection, that can produce the appearance of design, but which is not itself designed or directed in any way. So design for the Darwinian is an illusion. The biology looks designed, says Richard Dawkins, but it's not really designed because natural selection can mimic the powers of a designing intelligence. We're challenging that idea that life merely appears to be designed, and so our theory was named intelligent design to say, no, we're saying that the design is real and it comes from a real designing intelligence, from a mind, not a material process.
Now, before the break, I charged you with misrepresenting Richard Dawkins. I saw firsthand in a movie that we are constantly asking people to get through the Christian Research Institute, one of my favorite all-time movies, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, by Ben Stein. In that movie, it seems that he got Richard Dawkins to admit to intelligence design.
Well, Ben's a pretty smart guy, and also was a lawyer at one point, the law professor, I think, and so he knew the right questions to ask. And Dawkins has you know, quite famously been promoting this new atheism, the idea that science has disproven God, and his argument runs like this. He says there's no evidence of that. First of all, the design argument was also always the strongest reason for believing in God. There's no evidence of design, only apparent design, and therefore belief in God is tantamount to a delusion. Ben Stein asked him about the origin of the first life, where, as I argue in my book, there's compelling evidence for intelligent design. Oddly, Dawkins admitted that he had no better explanation. In effect, he admitted this by saying that, quote, no one knows how life first began from an evolutionary point of view. So Ben pressed further, and Dawkins said, well, you know, it could be that there is evidence of design at that point. He said there could be a signature of intelligence in the cell. And, of course, I perked up because that was the title of the book that I was working on. But he went on to say that though if there is such a signature of intelligence, it must have come from an alien being out in space, which was itself the product of evolutionary processes. So Ben just cocked an eyebrow at this, of course, in the movie. And I call this the ABG hypothesis, anything but God. And it really does underscore that Dawkins's whole argument is really driven by his atheistic presupposition. He says there's no evidence of design, and yet he acknowledges that at this critical juncture in the history of life, the evolutionary science is at a complete impasse, and it's at that juncture where we have this really compelling evidence in the form of the four-character digital code that runs the show inside the cell.
You are a modern-day hero to me and many others. You have invested 20 years of your life plus in a cause that you deeply believe in. You believe that truth matters. You wrote a book that's really going to make a difference. It may create a paradigm shift by God's grace, but talk about why you are willing to take it in the solar plexus as a direct result of taking an unpopular stand, but a very necessary stand. God has given us the opportunity to make a difference while there's yet time. You've seized the moment as opposed to seizing the opportunity to be prosperous and politically correct.
Well, first of all, I appreciate what you do too, Hank, so thank you for the compliment. The issue of biological origins and the issue of the origin of the universe itself is a critical scientific issue that also has profound worldview implications. And it's a worldview-shaping issue. However you end up answering this question, whether you believe that life arose through a purely undirected, mindless process, or whether you believe life is the result of a designing intelligence, indeed, perhaps as I do, God himself, that's going to have a profound effect on your worldview, and that in turn will affect every choice that you make and how people corporately in our culture come to answer this question is going to affect the choices that our culture makes. Do we acknowledge, for example, that there is a purpose beyond our temporal pursuits of wealth and fame, and or is there some purpose that it transcends that? Many young people today, as you know, are struggling with a sense of despair and hopelessness. We have epidemic levels of teen suicide. Many of the kids that have been involved in these copycat suicide shootings have been tapping into the nihilism that flows out of the Darwinian worldview. And so I think this is a critically important issue for helping people decide, what philosophers call the prime reality. What's the thing from which everything else comes? And is there a purpose and a meaning to our existence?
One more question before I let you go. Here's a book that's almost 600 pages long. There are going to be people that get this book that cannot digest every single word or paragraph in the book, and yet they can benefit by having this book, even by looking at it in a cursory fashion.
Well, I wrote the book as a mystery story, and I wove the argument and the story, kind of intertwined them around each other. So the mystery is the origin of the information that's necessary to build the first living cell. All scientists recognize that that's the critical problem that has to be solved to explain the origin of life. And what I do in the book is I examine the progressive attempts that have been made to solve that mystery and show that with each failed attempt, the mystery has only deepened. And yet there is a type of cause that we know of that's capable of producing information, and that cause is intelligent design. And so I develop the case, but I also tell a story as I do. I give the reader at a number of places permission to skip over parts that are too technical and then pick up the thread later. But I felt it was very important to provide a really rigorous scientific discussion of the key arguments so that the book can function on two levels. It's persuasive for the scientist, but engaging for the ordinary reader. My dad, who's a very smart mechanical engineer, was asking me for months, now, am I going to be able to understand this book? He's not a biologist, but he's been finding it readable and enjoying following along. And I've written it with the intelligent reader in mind, but also I wanted to make it compelling scientifically.
Well, this is one of the most important books in my library now, and I thank you for writing it. Thank you for your friendship, for your work, for your steadfastness, and for caring for truth.
Hey, thank you, Hank, and coming back at you. I appreciate your CRI bulletins and all the stuff that you produce.
God bless you, my friend.
Yeah, take care.
Talking to Dr. Stephen C. Meyer. He is a Cambridge University-trained philosopher of science, author of peer-reviewed publications in technical, scientific, philosophical, other books and journals. And just a great guy. He's written a landmark book. I think years from now, people will be talking about this book, and you're going to be one of the first people to have it in your library if you give us a call right now at 888-7000-CRI. This is not for the faint of heart, but it is a mystery. This is finding out more about the Creator and how He designed you. I mean, it doesn't get any more intoxicating than that, does it? You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A lot of you hanging on. By the way, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. So thousands of you calling from all over the globe. We will try to get to you in the next hour as well. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gary listening on KPDQ, Longview, Washington. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. My question is, Hank, to get right down to it, try to state it. I'm not very good at this. Try to state it the best way. I have a friend that believes that in the scripture, you know, that Peter said, baptize in the name of Jesus. And I've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, I was wondering if that there, I want to try to nail it down, if that's in the original manuscript. He says that that has been on the triune baptism, has been not part of the original manuscript. It's something the Catholic Church started after 40, 50 years, after Paul and all that. You understand that. And so that's basically my question, you know, if you had a information DVD on it or something, and I'm willing to send you $10 to help you in your ministry. I don't have a lot of money, but I'll do that for you if you send me a voucher envelope or something.
Well, we'd love to do that, but look, the whole issue here is you have to get the main and the plain point. What does it mean to be baptized in the name of Jesus? It means to be baptized on the basis of the authority vested in that name. In other words, on the basis of our belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the church has always baptized in the Trinitarian formula. Why? Because we're baptizing in the name of the one God revealed in Scripture. And how is God revealed? He's revealed as one God. Yes, one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And so when we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is not the formula that is at issue. It is that we are baptizing in the name of the one true God who has revealed himself in time and space in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We are being baptized on the basis of the authority vested in that name and ultimately in the God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, as a Trinitarian, we believe in one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. There's no evidence that Matthew 28 is a later interpolation in the ancient Greek New Testament manuscripts. Much more could be said. We will get the information out to you. Again, if you do not have this incredible book, Signature in the Cell, order right now. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. We'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in, do remember number in the U.S. or Canada, as always, to get your question on air, 888- Ask Hank. That translates to 888-275-4265. Thanks for tuning in. Again, look forward to seeing you in the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can connect with all these new media. That's www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.